My name is Kyle Blankenship. I'm a master's candidate at Oklahoma State University and in the Department of Plant and Soil Sciences. And my thesis project is mobilization of essential plant nutrients after various applications of swine effluent through a subsurface drip irrigation system. First of all, if you're not familiar with subsurface drip irrigation, it's a slow frequent application of water to the soil profile through emitters directly to the root zone. It's becoming increasingly popular in arid and semi-arid environments where water usage may become competitive in the near future. Some benefits of the SDI system are its water use efficiency, little to no evaporation loss, and reduced energy consumption, which compared to a center pivot system, it's less PSI. And also, farmers like the fact of SDI because they can access a field during an irrigation event, and they don't have to come in direct contact with the wastewater, fertilizer, or whatever they're applying to their field. So there are some drawbacks of an SDI system, though. Currently, it costs about $500 to $1,500 per acre in system cost. And farmers also are having some problems with germination. If you're putting that seed, 1 to 3 centimeters deep, not all the time moisture is reaching all the surface because we want to reduce evaporation. So sometimes there are some problems with germination and moisture at those top 3 centimeters. And then also in salt management, when you put this in a semi-arid environment or an arid environment, you already have some problems with calcareous soils or some salts. And then if you're applying wastewater, you're introducing even more salts into the system, and you're not having some of that healthy leaching occurring directly to the soil profile. It is an emerging technology. Oklahoma has currently less than 8,000 acres of SDI, and California has 50,000 acres of SDI roughly. And most of their SDI is directly related with horticulture. And one reason it's also emerging technology is we know SDI has been around a long time, but we're still better fitting it to the soil conditions and specific crop requirements. The site where the experiment took place is in Texas County, Oklahoma, in the town of Goodwell. And it is a semi-arid environment because it receives 380 to 560 millimeters of rainfall per year. Its primary source of irrigation currently is the Ogallala Aquifer, which you can see from the photo. It supplies the water for one-fifth of U.S. cropland. And Texas County was reported to use approximately 254 million gallons of water during the growing season of May, June, and July. So that leads us to swine production, where there's currently 2.1 million hogs and pigs alone in Texas County alone. And that brings their to the number 3 county in the nation. That also, when you have a lot of hogs and pigs like that, it leads to a waste production of 3 million gallons of lagoon per facility per year. So that causes producers and farmers to implement waste management strategies. But we also want to look at that waste as a resource because it does contain specific essential plant nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, copper, and zinc. And also, we want to think more sustainably as we lead to the future. Some objectives of my experiment are to determine distribution of swine effluent nutrients applied to the soil through a subsurface drip irrigation system. We want to compare the high and low flow emitter rates and their effect on the nutrient distributions. And we also want to look at the differences in soil texture because we realized when we took soil samples that near the emitter, there's a little more sand than as you move away from the emitter. The SDI system was placed on a Groover clay loam. It's highly calcareous, slow permeability, and well-drained. It's also a soil that's known to distribute its moisture throughout the profile evenly. It was established in 2001 on a 12-row corn-soybean rotation, and the drip tape was placed 18 inches or 45 centimeters deep, and the emitters are along that drip tape. It had 23 cubic meters or were applied to swine effluent through a year. That's approximately 5,000 gallons on plots that are 19 meters by 182. And you can see the from the figure, 2.38 is our high flow and 0.72 is our low flow. And most producers in the area use about 1.7 to 1.5. And also with the emitter spacing, you can tell from the low flow that there is more emitters along the drip drip tape on the low flow than there are the high flow. To better understand what was going on with the nutrient distribution, we did a pretty extensive soil sampling regime. This emitter down here is kind of like the emitter in question. While each of those these four boxes here are the emitters, and the circles with the next are the soil samples from 0 to 90 centimeters deep. We did three replications, three each at the high flow and three each at the low flow, all along different drip tapes. And our statistical analysis, this is the difference between nutrient distribution of the high versus the low. On the mobile nutrients, we found out that especially nitrate at the depths was only significant at the 30, 45, and 60 meters. That might be, I'll get that to you in a second, but it might be because some of that moisture wasn't receiving in the top 3 inches as much as it was. And then for the immobile, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium tended to move it with the water, while zinc, copper, and iron were not significant in depth or correlation away from, or distance away from the emitter. This here's the nitrate. This is directly right at the emitter. So we took a soil core directly at the emitter, and low flow was actually at a higher concentration than the high flow, probably because the high distributes the water more evenly while the low flow is not completely distributing all the way to between all the emitters. This figure right here is at the 45 centimeter depth, and each of these black squares are emitters on the corners, and this is the high flow versus the low flow. And you can tell from the high flow that the contour gradients are a lot not as steep and not as many as there are with the low flow. And you almost, with the low flow, you almost get this starving effect of, because there's two rows of corn running this way. You almost get the starving effect with the low flow. So in the high flow is actually doing a better job at distributing the nutrients evenly. Here's phosphorus. The low flow also is higher in phosphorus, and that's probably because as the emitter rate is being pushed out with the low flow, you're having more time for that molecule to react with the soil surface. So that's probably why you have a higher concentration near the emitter. And then this is at 45 centimeters, the high versus the low flow. And again, you almost have a larger area of little concentration of phosphorus in between all four emitters, while you don't have a starving effect happening with the phosphorus at the high flow. And the contour gradients, you can tell that also are more steeper here from 50, or about, well, it's about 55 to 10, and then from 36 to 20. Potassium was a little bit different. It was actually with depths, it was a little more significant. It also tended to move with the water. It became more soluble in soil solution, so it moved even better than phosphorus and nitrate. And also, you can tell here with the same thing that the high flow is more evenly distributed, while the low flow has steeper contours in the distribution. For calcium, this is a highly calcareous soil, and you can almost see the caliche layer about 75 centimeters forming. While calcium is becoming solubilized with the organic fraction of the swine effluent. And these are pretty high calcium levels, but because it is a high calcareous soil, but there really is no problems occurring with the calcium, and especially when you get down to the caliche layer. It's actually not rebounding off the caliche layers like we thought it would, but it's just distributing it evenly. With zinc, copper, and iron, we had a little bit of difference. It was not significantly different with depths or distance away from the emitter. In the presence of those short-term organic acids and bases that are found within swine effluent, the zinc, copper, and iron actually are found to be soluble and mobile within the soil solution. And you can also tell that emitter is right there at that 45 centimeter depth. Then we looked at the soil textural changes that were occurring. And with this graph, you can tell that right at the emitter, that the clay molecules are actually kind of, this is with the high flow, by the way, that the clay molecules are kind of being pushed away from the emitter a little bit more than, with the low flow, there was no strong correlation with clays moving away, but with the high flow, there was a stronger movement of clays away from, directly from that emitter. And this is the clay compared to the control. We took some native soil samples from that have never been applied to, and you can tell that the clay is actually being pushed further away from the emitter compared to a control. Also, this is, if you imagine, those are the four emitters on the corners. You can tell that the concentration right at the emitters of clay is lower than it is, and you're almost forming this soil or this clay core between all four emitters. And it was actually highest at the top 15 centimeters, which it's still considered a clay loam, but it almost moves to a pure clay at the top 6 inches. So some conclusions from this project were that nitrate was significantly correlated with depth and distance, but only at the 30, 45, and 60 centimeter depths, and that zinc, copper, and iron were not significantly correlated with depth or distance, and phosphorus and potassium are significantly correlated with depth and distance away from the emitter. And also we had some good data on soil textural changes, and that's probably due just to that emitter output rate, because there's nothing standing out with the low flow as much as that high flow, like you saw with those clay particles are being pushed away, because it's almost a sand when you get real close to that emitter. This last photo is just a picture of all the swine production facilities. This is a quarter of Texas County, Oklahoma, and there's approximately, I think, 60 swine production facilities in that area.